May every heart be filled with infinite kindness. 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 So in our third, the third of the six rays of the divine being, of the divine presence, I invite you to think about this topic. It's the most important topic in life, love, compassion, and empathy. But sometimes it's good to look at it with fresh eyes. I'm really tremendously inspired by the evolution of maternal love in the tree of life. The tree of life has invented... It's really amazing how the tree of life invents things over and over again. For example, eyes have emerged in every branch of the tree of life. You know, mammals and insects and fish and birds, they all develop eyes. Even if the eyes are quite different, they do exactly the same job. And in a similar way, that eyes or fins, the dolphins, ancient ancestors were wolves. There were dolphins or wolves that went back to the sea. And in the course of all those millions of years in the sea, they developed fins that look exactly like the fins on a fish, because that's how you move in the water. So life wanted to accomplish something, and the dolphins gradually evolved fins. For me, if you start with guppies eat their own young. Or I guess if the young guppies don't stay close to mama, if they swim away, mama loses her connection with them, and then they become dinner. So there isn't a lot of maternal care there. But if you look at the grand sweep of evolution, what you see is that creatures have fewer and fewer offspring, and they take more and more care of them. So that in the unfolding of maternal care and the evolution of life, we see something like the slow incarnation of love. It's definitely not complete, and it's not... When I read the newspaper every day, I realize we're just on this journey, and we're not there yet. But it's amazing that it happens anywhere. So I think of maternal care as a expression of the divine in ordinary life, in everyday life, which I think in Western culture has been symbolized by Mary holding little Jesus. That Mary holds little Jesus not only for Christianity, but also for all humanity. That this is the ideal, that this is the deep humanness that is being, we're being called toward. So there's a journey there from isolation to mutual care. And it's a journey that every person in every culture is called toward. And that includes feeling part of something larger, much larger than myself, and that's calling me to participate in it. And also in delighting in the virtues of the other, which you certainly see in, you know, mothers and babies quite regularly fall in love with each other, which is a wonderful thing to observe. I've never had any kids of my own, but I've watched friends of mine fall in love with their babies, and it's been a beautiful thing to see. There comes in love not only a delight in the qualities of the other, but a kind of desire to nurture the other, and that is, I think, a deep part of being human. It's interesting to me, I've been thinking about Matthew 25 a lot. Matthew 25 is a place where Jesus has this amazing conversation at the end of time, at the gates of heaven. And at the end, it's a conversation inside of a conversation. He's talking to his disciples in Palestine in the year 30. But he's talking about, you and I are going to meet again at the gates of heaven at the end of time. And I will say to you, welcome to the kingdom that God has prepared for you, because I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you gave me clothes to wear. I was sick and you nursed me. I was in prison and you visited me. Those are the ones I remember. I think there may be several more. But one of the things, I was thinking about this and I realized it was kind of like three out of the four things that Jesus mentions are things that mothers do for their little children. So that in my book, Jesus suddenly became the world's first feminist. But really, he's calling us, he's saying how much these activities of caring are really part of being human, and we won't be fully human without them. So now I would like you, in your circles of conversation, to explore some moments in your life where you felt a really deep love that changed you. And we'll come back in about 10 minutes. And as I mentioned to you before, we will cover as many of these as we can, but without rushing through them. And then you kind of have the idea of what I'm doing now, so you can really carry this on. And also, in relation to all the later chapters of Stephen's book, the question that I'm asking is, how will we find the strength to be with people who are quite different from us, maybe even hostile to us, and still find a creative and compassionate way forward? So, thank you very much. Let's have a moment, a minute of silence as we kind of collect our thoughts and feel this, you know, deep experience of love in my life that changed my life and moved me forward on my life journey. Thank you. So please pass the talking pen around your table. So please conclude your circle of discussion for this topic in the next minute or so.
You can fit one more.
Thank you again for participating in this these explorations about the sacred in everyday life. Now, the fourth one that I'm describing here is understanding, which is the journey from confusion and avoidance to clarity, truth-facing and truth-telling. Now, this is a very human, the way I have described it, it's a very human vision of understanding. But one might ask, what does understanding have to do with God or the divine presence? And I agree, it kind of takes some looking, it takes some thinking to explore that. Now, in the West, we inherit a tradition that includes this amazing sentence. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, because of some accidents of history and language, when that got translated, that word in Greek is logos, which means informing intelligence. But when it got translated into English, it became word, which can be a powerful spoken word, but it can also just be an ordinary word printed on a page. So I would say, in terms of candidates for the worst translation in human history, I think that translating I don't know the several meanings of logos in Greek enough to really make that case, because I'm not a Bible scholar. But it does seem like what was intended was the idea of a kind of informing intelligence, that somehow the whole universe knows things, or the whole universe understands things. That's also present in Hinduism, with the idea that there's a kind of divine intelligence that's underneath everything, that's underneath the whole universe. And the divine intelligence is part of the divine being. I'm not sure that we are going to get closer to the meaning of divine intelligence, divine understanding, until we do better as persons, as human persons, struggling to face the truth and tell the truth. That in struggling to face the truth and tell the truth, we are exercising our understanding muscles that can allow us to have deeper understandings. So, in the first instance, we say, deep understanding is about seeing how things fit together. Then we go a little deeper and we say, deep understanding is seeing about how all things fit together. Then we go a little deeper and we see, deeper understanding is about how I fit together with all things. Like, I'm part of the universe I'm trying to understand. So, life is definitely a journey toward deepening one's understanding. And as we make that journey, we gradually become aware that there is an intelligence in life. I don't claim to understand it. There's a phrase, touching the hem of his gown, I think that gets used, I think, in relation to Jesus. But I feel that in relation to the divine intelligence, I'm reaching up and I'm touching something that I only barely understand, but I know it's there and that I need to go toward it. So we are called, in part of our understanding, journey toward understanding, is to understand the mistakes we have made and to understand cause and effect. Even someone like George W. Bush occasionally had clearer moments about that. He said, well, we supported one side in the Civil War in Afghanistan, and then when we won, we just went home and left them to their own devices with a wrecked country. And that didn't turn out very well for us, that we had set in motion some very painful causes, and the causes that we set in motion had very unhappy effects. So this also reminds me of Jesus saying, I'm sending you out into the world to be as harmless as doves and as wise as serpents. And I've always been fascinated by that, as if, well, yes, love is so important, but as you walk into the world and you try and put your love into action, well, you really need to understand what's going on in the situation around us. Where am I, and what's going on in the people around me? How am I going to bring my loving intentions to fruition in this particular environment with these particular people? So, in this journey, I want you to think about some wonderful discovery that you made in your life. Some place where you were confused or you were struggling, and then you had a moment where you finally saw it. It was much clearer. It could be a moment of awakening, a moment of finally facing an important truth that was in your life, or suddenly a moment of telling the truth where you finally blurted out something that meant a lot to you that you somehow hadn't been able to say until that moment. These are the different ways that understanding unfolds in our lives. So let's have a moment. I also want to ask, this is a tough one. Does anyone have any questions or they want to ask me about this before we go forward? I know I'm challenging you, but then, you know, Donald Trump challenges me and Stephen's book challenges me, so I'm passing on the challenge. Well, understanding. So if we think of understanding as a journey from confusion and avoidance to clarity and truth-facing, then I'm looking for a moment in your life where you suddenly saw something really clearly, or you faced a truth that was like difficult for you, but you finally confronted it. Or you were able to stand up and tell the truth after a long period of being kind of afraid to speak up. So let's have a moment of meditation and let those experiences bubble up. wrestling to understand and struggling to tell the truth. Thank you. While I was getting quiet, I realized I could add something to this topic that might make it even easier. And that would be, in addition to a moment in your life where you suddenly saw something much clearer, it could also be, what great riddle is facing you in your life? Is there something that you don't understand yet and you want to understand? What is that riddle that's engaging you to go deeper? Thank you so much. I'm so sorry to have to call our meeting to a close today. I knew in the beginning that we probably wouldn't get around to all of these, and I would rather do a few things well than do everything in a hurry. So I so appreciate your exploring this with me. I think these exercises are really challenging, but then we live in a challenging world. We live in a world that's falling apart. So we're all of us in this position of needing to find deeper resources inside of ourselves that will allow us to show up in a more creative and compassionate way, drawing on those resources. So I think of these qualities as six windows through which the divine presence can shine through you into the world. That is, we deepen these qualities inside of us, we are participating in something much larger than ourselves. We're participating in life's searching for a deeper unfolding and a deeper evolution. So thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you very much, Dennis. And this is a quick reminder. The yellow group is on for snacks next week. Okay? Yellow. Is that right? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Barbara. And next week is Barbara Gaughan Mueller. She's the president of the United Nations Association. See you then.